handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. This is a subscriber bonus episode where I'm bored thinking of funny stories and decide, fuck it. Not afraid of giving Patreon content for free because I don't have a Patreon for this. I just had a couple funny things to share with you, and I figured this is just a reward for subscribing, I guess, because if you don't subscribe to the show, you have no idea this exists. But if you subscribe, you'll be like, holy fuck, is there a bonus? Fuck yeah, JL, thanks so much. Blah. So, we're 9 days away from Half Blackface being recorded. And, basically my standard that I'm holding myself to is Chris Rock, Bring the Pain, Bo Burnham Inside, but better than both of those combined. That's all that I'm trying to do. So 9 days from now, the pressure is mounting. My weight continues to drop, so that's giving me positive vibes. I'm now past the halfway point towards my goal weight of 235, which, I'm plan on timing it exactly for when I get my tax refund check, assuming I get a tax refund check and I'm just, not super rich like I was in 2020 where the government comes and takes my wealth. Taxation is theft, folks. I was libertarian for about 3 weeks last year. But then I said, I'm doing good work with my tax money. Unlike Jeff Bezos, I paid, a healthy, I don't know what I paid last year. I must have paid like at least 30% of my income in taxes. And I'm no tax cheat out here in Jersey. Half Blackface, 9 days away. The weight keeps falling. But my plan is to use that tax refund, hit my goal weight, in like late March, and then just go and just revamp the wardrobe with all new blue jeans and flannel shirts. No, I'm going to get some new suits and all that shit. It's new waist, new me. But now, you know what's sad, folks? And you probably know this from listening to me. Now, it was one thing when I was like, I'm so fat, my knees hurt, I'm a fucking loser, I fucking hate this, I got to get my life together. But now, after like 3.5 months where I've dropped 44 pounds, I'm sort of like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's not as fun anymore. I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to stick with this and I'm going to lose the weight and who gives a shit? I guess that's good. But it's no longer feels like a challenge. So I need to find something else to be angry about. By next spring, I will be a new man. It'll be the old, it'll be fit JL, 4.0 finally after a good
12-year absence. I'll be back. So that's good. I went to the knee doctor today. And my guy used to be a Nets team doctor, and I saw him a long time ago for a shoulder issue I had. But he looked at both knees, x-rayed both, structurally sound. The right knee is just a lingering injury from a couple of years ago, whereas the left knee, I'm getting an MRI next Friday, the day before I record Half Blackface. So let's hope the MRI machine doesn't collapse on me. not afraid of doing a Final Destination on myself. So we'll look at that left knee, and then it's probably some sort of interior, like whatever the fuck the word is, but the interior meniscus of my knee, and there's probably a tear. And then the question is it a let's go repair this bitch surgically, or go do physical therapy and just be a limping chronic piece of shit the rest of your life? I guess that's good news. The good news is it doesn't seem like any fucking life-altering surgery will occur. So that's good. But at the same time, I was kind of hoping to go in there and have him go, oh yeah, we got to clean this knee up. Because then I'd be like, oh good, it's not that I'm getting older and closer to death. It's just that there's an injury. Instead, he was like, no injury. You're just big and death is on its march for you. Death cometh for us all. And right now, death is coming on your knee. but I, you know, it's sort of like this weird thing when you're young. When I'm young, I never had any real injuries. I had a bad sprain of an ankle that kept me out like 3 weeks. But you know, you don't want injuries because you're like, I heal quickly. I am fucking Wolverine. I'm a young, fit man. So you're like, no injuries, man, because you just feel like if I'm just sore, that's fine. I'll fucking ice it and play through it and drink and blah. But when you're old, you're like, please be an injury. Please be something that you can repair and not have it be like, yeah, this is the beginning of the end. It may be 9 years, it may be 49 years jail, but now the beginning of the end has started, and it is with the menisci of your knees. So the menisci is falling. How about that? New album title. But that was, I guess, good news in a way. So I'll get that MRI, get the knee looked at, and, you know, keep losing the weight. The weight loss has definitely helped. So I still got, you know, between 35 and 38 pounds to drop still. So that's going to be a little bit longer of a process, I think, but that's fine. It'll be lost the right way while muscle gets added. And, you know, by my 43rd birthday, I'll be, back to where I was in my late 20s, fucking while staring at myself in a mirror like American Psycho. no, that I'm just kidding. I could have. I was in that kind of shape, but no, I'm far too good a man to do that kind of activity. Anyway, no, I'm not. And then the big story, because I know a lot of people really enjoyed the Pine Barrens soccer episode, where I spent the entire episode just lamenting my journey through the Del Barton High School plantation campus in Morristown, New Jersey. Well, we're returning for an Uncle JL segment right now, okay? And I swear to you, I swear to Rod and like the three other people who enjoy this, Brandon, I will be resuming online gambling before the NBA season starts. So we will bring back Uncut Gems, whatever the fuck I called it. I forget what I called the segment. Yes, Cookie, I cursed. I'm sorry. Cookie, you can take the white trash puppy out of the Bible Belt, but you can't take the Bible Belt out of the white trash puppy. Every time I say the F word, she looks at me like just with such disappointment and terror, because I guess her previous owner probably preceded every beating or maltreatment with an F-bomb. So the only word Cookie will respond to with 100% consistency is the F-word. But anyway, I will resume gambling, online gambling, because I need that fix. I need that high. soon, okay? So don't you worry. And then I'll rewatch Uncut Gems so I can sort of freshen up my Adam Sandler impression. But I look forward to doing like 16 parlays in the NBA and losing on like the second game. It'll be fun. But anyway, I went to my first game. My nephew is a center midfielder, wears number 10. Well, he mixes positions, but he's number 10, which is kind of the number of honor on a soccer team, for the freshman team at Seton Hall Prep. Seton Hall Prep right now is the number one ranked high school team in New Jersey. And my nephew seems to be on a pretty strong trajectory to surpass my legacy as the number one college athlete in the family with my robust 50 career points at Williams College. But one three ball and one dunk. This was before 3-and-D people, when everybody was shooting threes. I was desperate to shoot threes, and I hit one in my career, which felt good. But it was a smooth one. It wasn't like, shoot it, big man. It was like on the wing, squared the dude up in his face, and just nothing but net. Anyway, not that I'm reliving the glory years like Al Bundy. Peg, if you were a woman, I... So I went to Seton Hall Prep to watch my nephew's soccer game. Now, took a lift there, and as I'm walking towards the field, and by the way, beautiful facilities, but unlike Del Barton, not stretched across a small city. So once the cab pulled up, he just was able to drive past like tennis courts or whatever, and then I was like, oh, that's the field. But beautiful facilities. I walk in. And as I'm walking towards the field, I see the score is 2-0. And I shit you not, who pops one in the back of the net to make it 3-0 as I'm walking to the field? My nephew. Boom. So I'm enjoying this. There's one parent for Seton Hall Prep who's loud to the point of I left the stands and watched the game else like at a, like half the field away. Because he just, and there is something really annoying when a parent is like yelling every kid's name, because as soon as they yell the kid that you care about name, it just feels like do not yell and do not sigh and do not criticize a kid that's like, come on, get that. No, shut up. You're loud enough when you're being positive, but nobody wants to hear this shit. But anyway, so it's 3-0 at half. And the other team, St. Benedict's, comes out like gangbusters in the second half. And they were dirty. They were dirty. Like, my nephew's team has a couple like bigger kids. Not big, you know, not JL big in ninth grade, but, you know, pretty solid square kids. And my theory on New Jersey soccer, as it continues to grow and develop, is it's you're going to have more and more kids who wanted to play football, but they were just like, play soccer instead. But they still bring that football attitude. And whenever I watch these like benches of Jersey kids, my ears are like perked up to hear like racist stuff. Cause it just you feel like you're watching, you remember Baby Muppets? Sometimes you look across at these teams and you're like, is this Baby Sopranos? This is the many high school kids of Newark. But, so it's 3-0, but the other team comes out like gangbusters, and they were rough with my nephew's team, and especially with a couple of bigger kids. But it's one of those things like they'll claw and grab and shove the bigger kid, but the bigger kid can't do that to them because then it'll be very obvious. So I have sympathy, of course, as a former big kid, now big adult marching towards death, according to my knee doctor, even though he didn't say that at all. And so they got a goal, and then they got another one. So it was 3-2. 3-2. And all the momentum is the same. They are so much more aggressive and intense. And then, with about 11 minutes left in the game, Seton Hall Prep, boom, goal. And it wasn't my nephew, but my nephew was close to the goalie when the ball went in. And apparently, as the celebration started for the goal, a couple of players on Seton Hall Prep did some taunting. And one of them was definitely my nephew. And I could tell that because the goalie lost his mind and started sprinting towards my nephew. and was held back and was screaming, got a red card from the ref. So he was clearly using Sopranos language. And the kid's coming back to the bench. I'm standing behind the other team's bench. There, and by the way, the St. Benedict's parents were screaming curse words and things. So it was a classy affair in Jersey. And as the kid's coming back, he's like tearing off his jersey and he's like crying and screaming. And I go, oof, this has school shooter energy all over it. I'm somebody who is very competitive. This is not a normal reaction to a soccer game, son. who said this? Is this a Maniscalco? Like, who said, I don't care. It's Twitter. That was Dan Lebatard, who once goes, I don't care about that. It's Twitter. And that's how I feel sort of about soccer. It's like, ease up. Even if you are the most competitive person, it's still just soccer. So he gets to the bench. There's like a little internal argument on St. Benedict's because a couple of the kids are laughing. And then, of course, some of the kids are like, why are you laughing? And in my head, I'm like, well, I just found the future comedian on the team, the one who's laughing at his goalie crying over nothing. And then the kid is lying on his back being like, talked to and consoled by a couple of teammates. And then he said words that will echo in my memory. He screamed, they were standing over my body, taunting. I was like, did this kid's parents just read Ta-Nehisi Coates for the first time? Talking about his body, like over my lifeless body, my precious blonde white body meant nothing to the kids on Seton Hall prep. And I just started laughing. I just started laughing my ass off. It felt like I was watching The Real House Kids of New Jersey. It was like reality show. But when he was going, they stood over my body, taunting me. I lost it. It was the funniest shit. I was like, oh man, that is other than half blackface, that's the funniest shit I will hear all month. They stood, like, he didn't say they stood over me. He said they stood over my body and taunted me. And I said, I'm going to every fucking home game that I can. If this is how Jersey soccer kids bring it, if it's this high level of drama and intensity, I need to be at every one of these games. Plain and simple. I have my new hobby, and that is going to my nephew's soccer games. Not so much for him, but for the drama that future racists of New Jersey bring when they are intense about soccer. They stood like friend of the show, friend in real life, Chris Lambert, had said he thinks that the whole Del Barton story should be like written into a script or part of my act. I would agree that it could make for a good episode of a show that I will write and never get paid to do, but this was so much more to the punch. Like this, I'm sorry, I know I keep saying it, but it keeps making me laugh. He like wailed with his teammates around him and said, they stood over my body and taunted me. But at the same time, it was kind of creepy. It was like, kids, that, like I said, that had like, tune up the Marilyn Manson and put on your trench coat energy, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's some like comic book origin villain dialogue. Like, he didn't say, those fucking ass, like what I would have said if I was upset, I would say, those fucking assholes were in my fucking face. This dude was going to the Ta-Nehisi Coates lexicon with over my body. Oh, God, it was beautiful. It was that young person's pain was my joy. And I hope he's okay now. I hope he's over it. By the end of the game, he was chill. They were all like having their team meeting, so I think no harm done. But boy, oh boy, was that a terrifying joy to watch. And then my nephew had the fifth goal, the one that really just the rubbed the salt in the wounds. They were a dirty team. I really didn't have too much of a problem with the taunting. Although my nephew, I think, has that suburban swagger, which I hope, because I love him, that he never faces somebody who doesn't want to put up with that shit, or that he matures in time, because he talks big trash. Like, I talked a little bit of trash, but I was more of a, like, angry athlete, not a like showboating athlete. So most of my anger was from sitting the bench in college. So to be fair, I didn't really have many opportunities to showboat. Although on my last play of my career, I did get an N1 dunk and a technical for hanging on the rim. So I really wrapped it up. Like my final moment of my career was action packed. I dunked it on a dude, got an N1 with a minute left in my college career, and then did a chin up on the rim. Got a technical. So how about that for the last minute of your career, getting all that? And that's what I hope half blackface is, an and one dunk with a technical foul. That's what half blackface will be. But if you're left with anything after this bonus episode, it is, of course, they stood over my body and taunted me. Oh, it's my favorite. It's my favorite thing I think I've heard this year. I put it up there with fucking Bo Burnham. But I thought I'd share that with you guys. Subscriber special. Not afraid of cutting out all the people who don't subscribe. That's it. This was just on board. I'm doing my day job work. I'm in Long Island tomorrow night. And hopefully, I don't know who listens to this show, but, you know, Pittsburgh, D.C., L.A. And I'm working on, I'm telling you, if I have to rent a fucking piece of shit room in Utah and in Chicago and Boston and San Fran just to see the fans and to do what I said I'd do, I will do it. Let's hope some of these venues contact me back, but... in late January, I'm going out, I'm going to Chicago, LA, San Francisco, Salt Lake City over like the course of 2.5 weeks. It's going to be like my first big vacation, even though I'll still be doing a little bit of work comedically. So looking forward to that. So I hope anybody who's in any of those cities, please, make sure you come out in strength, and wherever tickets are available now, DC, Pittsburgh, LA, get those tickets now. Don't wait, okay? And to everybody who's coming to Half Blackface, well, we'll have another Righteous Prick next Monday, next Tuesday. But, we're getting close, 9 days away. So big time. And, I know my sign-off is always see you next Tuesday. But since this isn't a Tuesday episode, I will end this episode with, they stood over my body!